Tonight's shiur for the week of Parshas Vayeshev. We begin with a shaila which occurred Erev Shavuos Tavshinayin Gimel. It was a woman who was in her ninth month of pregnancy, and her due date was estimated dafka for the day of Shavuos. Her husband, his minhag, as the minhag of many men, is to stay up all learning all night in the shul, in the Beis Medrash. So this avreich wanted very much to continue his minhag, go to the shul, go to learn all night. But on the other hand, his wife was expecting, and it could be any time. And she wanted, you know, him to go through the hospital, etc. So he didn't know what to do. A simple solution would just be to stay at home, but he knew it wouldn't be the same. He would just probably just doze off if he stayed at home. He needs the excitement of the action in the Beis Medrash to keep him awake for Leil Shavuos. So they came up with an idea, and this was the shiloh, whether it's something proper to do. And that was, he would take his cell phone and turn it on and bring it to shul and Erev Shavuos, and leave it in a shtender. And then he'd come to shul that night and to learn. And then if his wife would go into labor and she would need him, so she would call him, say with a shinui, whatever, call him. He would hear the phone ring in a shtender. No, it's his wife. And he'd run home. Question, is that a proper thing to do? What's the shaila? Because she'd be making an extra call that she wouldn't necessarily have to do. If he'd be home, she wouldn't have to call him. He's there. So here she would have to make an extra call to bring her husband home to go with her to the hospital. Is that a okay thing to do? So one would say that it would be okay. Why? Because when he's going, she's obviously not in labor. If she was in labor, he wouldn't be going. She's right now, everything is as it stands right now, everything's okay. So we can go, something might happen, and then it's she's going to labor. Okay, what happens, happens. Then she's allowed to call, because it's a matzav pikuach nefesh, and she'll be allowed to call. So when he's leaving, everything's okay. He's going to a mitzvah, he's going to learn. If something would happen after that, okay, something happens after that. We have a precedent for such a thing. The Shulchan Aruch says, in Orach Chaim Reish Mem Ches, so the person is allowed to leave on Erev Shabbos on a journey in the Midbar to go on Aliyah Teretz Yisrael, as in the case is over there. And if something will happen, which is could happen in a desert, some type of a matzav sakana, which will require Chilo Shabbos, so that's okay. Why? Because when he went, no, not for sure going to be any Chilo Shabbos. He's going, into the desert, but you never know. And if a situation comes up with this Chilo Shabbos, says the Mishnah Berurah, Kevin Shemimela Nisava Davar Lebasov, he didn't do it, didn't bring it on himself, it has happened. Ubaonesh Bikuch Nefesh, ain't kan Chilo Shabbos. So when it's Bikuch Nefesh, that's not called Chilo Shabbos. You're allowed to do Malach on Shabbos for Bikuch Nefesh. So when he left, everything was okay. And later on, happens. It's okay. So it's okay. And therefore, one would say the same thing over here. He's leaving to learn. Everything's okay. Later on, she's going to have to call him. Okay, so she's allowed to call him because of Nefesh. However, the stipler in Kilus Yaakov in Masechet Shabbos, he says, not so simple. He wants to make a chiluk. It depends when the person goes. In the case of the Shulchan Aruch, when is he leaving to go into the desert? Before Shabbos. So if you're leaving in the time of Heter, before Shabbos starts at all, so then what happens later on Shabbos, okay, it's not your fault, whatever happens you can. However, if one leaves on Shabbos, or does something on Shabbos, which could lead to Pikuach Nefesh, that's not allowed. Because that would be as if you're starting already the inyan of the Chilul Shabbos, since you're going on Shabbos itself. And therefore, our Shaila here, when was the man going to leave and go to Shul? On Yontav, ready after the meal. So he's leaving on Yontav. Leaving on Yontav, that's already problematic. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, was asked the Shaila, which makes sense. He paskin like his father, the stipler, and he said it's a problem since he's leaving on Yontif. And I said, so what is this man supposed to do? He says he should stay home and try very, very hard not to fall asleep. And he brings here that the words of the Ari HaKadosh, the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, in Siman Taf Tzadi Dalet. He said, Da, shekol mi shebalayla zeh lo yashan klal vikar, whoever is able to stay awake and doesn't sleep at all on Leil Shavuos, v'yeh osek b'torah, and he's osek b'torah, means not your, you know, you're speaking to people and schmoozing the whole night. We're talking about you're stay up the whole night and you're osek b'Torah. Muftachlo, he has a promise. Shiyashlim shnato, he's going to live out the whole year. V'lo yireh lo shum nezek, and nothing bad will happen to him the entire year. Okay. Next on the agenda is an interesting riddle. The riddle goes as follows. How could it be, and we have a chicken that goes up onto a tree and in the process knocks down an apple. And the din is, at this point, the apple is usser. You know, to take the apple and eat it. And, however, if the chicken lays an egg, now you can eat the apple. How could that be? So this riddle was asked by none other than Rabbi Yisraelin. He's the Truma Sedeshin. And he answers as follows. The Gemara, first of all, says in Maseches Beitzah, Dav Zayin, that a chicken only lays eggs in the daytime, not in the nighttime. Number one. Second point is that a fruit which is on a tree on Shabbos and falls down on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat that fruit. If it fell off the tree on Erev Shabbos, not a problem. But on Shabbos, since when Shabbos came in, it was on the tree, it was muktzas, you couldn't pick it. So then if it falls off on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat this apple. So here we have the answer to our riddle. What happened? Again, the chicken went up onto the tree and knocked down the apple. Now, this was on Friday afternoon, late afternoon, and it was a cloudy day, and you couldn't tell, was it Shabbos or not? Well, if it wasn't Shabbos yet, so you can eat the apple. If it was Shabbos already, you can eat the apple. So what do? You don't know. Then all of a sudden, the chicken lays the egg. So we said the chickens lay egg only in the daytime, not at night. Once the chicken laid the egg, now you know it's only Friday afternoon, it's not Shabbos yet. So Mela, until the chicken laid the egg, you weren't allowed to eat the apple, because the suffix, maybe it was laid on Shabbos. Until the egg was laid, now you know it's still daytime, it's still Friday afternoon, so now the apple is mutter. There was a maisa with a wealthy Jew in Chutz Laaretz. And one day he missed the minyan, so he had to daven at home. So he was davening at home, he was davening Shmona Esrei, right? And as he was davening, his mind was wandering a little bit, lost his concentration. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down that in order to awaken one's concentration, is an inyan to look outside into the Shemayim, whatever, to bring back one's concentration. So this Gvir did so. He looked outside, you know, out of the window, and lo and behold, what does he see? He sees a chashev, a Rosh Hashiva from Eretz Yisrael, who looked like he just arrived. I guess he saw his carrying his baggage or whatever, and he thought, wow, I'd love to have this Rosh Hashiva stay by me, you know, for you know, while he's here. And this is going on in the middle of his Shmoneh Esrei. So what does he do? He just puts down his siddur, runs outside, and motions to the Rosh Hashiva to, if he can come into this house, whatever. So he's okay. He comes into this house, brings him in, closes the door, sits him down, and then he picks up his siddur and continues his Shmoneh Esrei. Finishes davening, and then he welcomes Rosh Hashiva and invites him to stay with him, etc., etc. So the Rosh Hashiva agreed. Very nice, thank you very much. He said, but I just have one question. I noticed you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. How could you run out and call me in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei? So he says, it's okay, not a problem. He says, well, what do you mean? He said, well, I learned this from Avraham Avinu. I said, what do you mean, Avraham Avinu? He says, yeah, the beginning of Parshas Vayera. He said, Vayera Lev Hashem, Bila Neim Amre. Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu after the Bris Mila. And then it says, Avraham lifted up his eyes, Vayar Vinei Shloshan Hashim, Mitzavim Allah, Vayar Vayasri Likrasam. He saw the angels coming, and he ran to them. Here, he was speaking to Hashem, he stopped, and he ran to invite in the angels. And in Chazal, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufkav Zayin says, we see from here, Shegadolach Nasas Orchim Mikabalas Pnei Shechina, that greater is inviting guests than the Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. Here, Avraham was talking to Hashem, and he dropped that and going to invite the guests. So he said, well, I did the same thing, right? I was speaking to Hashem, Shmanas, right? But I saw Chashav, I guess, Rosh Hashiva, so I dropped it and went to the Rosh Hashiva. I learned from Avraham Avinu. So the question is asked, is that true? Is that a good comparison? What this Gevir did, was it correct based on what Avraham Avinu did, or perhaps not? So he brings an interesting answer from Rabbi Avigdor Nevensal Shlita. And he claims that you could not learn in this case from Avraham Avinu. Why? He says, Tefillah, davening, Shmoneh Esrei, is a mitzvah. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's one of the things, part of our Avodas Hashem that we have to do in this world to daven. Fine. Hachnasas Orchim, also a mitzvah. So therefore, he says, it's not proper to drop one mitzvah and to go to another mitzvah. As we know, osik b'mitzvah, pater mitzvah. We have a rule even, right? You're involved in a mitzvah, you finish it, you don't just drop it and go to the next one. So meila, you're davening, so you're involved in the mitzvah. You don't drop this mitzvah and go to another mitzvah, hachnasas orchim. The obvious question is, Avraham Avinu. So why did he drop and go? So he says, very interestingly, says that when Hashem came to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham was, with Hashem, he was not involved in a mitzvah. This was a reward. Hashem came to Avraham after the Bris Mila, whatever, and as a reward, he came to him. He appeared to him as a reward for his hard work and efforts in Avodas Hashem. So Hashem said, "No, I'm going to reward Avraham, and I'm going to appear to him." That was a reward. Avraham wasn't osik in a mitzvah. He wasn't davening. He was just enjoying Hashem's presence, which was a reward for him. So that was nice until he saw the angels. He goes, oh, now I have a mitzvah to do. Reward's very nice, main olam haba over here, but that's not so long as I don't have a mitzvah to do. Now that I have a mitzvah is in this world take precedence than reward. As it says, Hayom lasosa machar lekabel scharam. Today is the time for doing the mitzvahs. Tomorrow you get reward. So here's a time for me to do a mitzvah. I have to put her off, put the reward aside for later. Alom haba, whatever it might be. Now I have a mitzvah to do. Therefore he ran to deal with the Yorchi. So Mela, this Gvir, he was involved with a mitzvah of Shmanas, right? He can't put that aside for another mitzvah of Achnasas Orchi. And I was thinking that could be therefore shot in the Chazal, the Gedol Achnasas Orchim Mekabalas Pnei Shechina, that maybe, according to this, that's the pshat. It says, greater is Achnas Orchim, more than Pnei Shechina. How could that be? It said, because Hakabalas Pnei Shechina, that's a reward. And Achnasas Orchim, that's a mitzvah. Therefore, what Chazal are basically telling us, it's greater is a mitzvah to do than getting rewarded, because rewards for the next world. It's just thing I was discussing this with one of the boys, young boys I learned with just today. And when I asked him this question of with the Gvir, and can you learn from Avraham Avinu? So he had an interesting hara. He said, no, you can't learn from Avraham Avinu. I said, why not? He says, because it says, Gadola Hachnasas Orchim Mi'akabalas Meshchina. Hachnasas Orchim is Lashon Rabim. It's plural. I mean, there was three angels that came. So we learn from Avraham that maybe you can stop, your Kabbalah's Peshkin is very nice, but not if you have to deal with three people. Hachnasas Orchim in the plural, so then you have to maybe run to them. But maybe just one Oreach, we can't learn that you have to stop even for one Oreach. And therefore, the case of the Gevir was just one Oreach. Interesting. In conclusion, asked over here, this gvir that did stop his tefillah, does he need a kapara? Okay, according to what we said, he did something wrong. He shouldn't have stopped Shemoneh Esrei. So he says, no, he doesn't need a kapara. Why? Because since it's called Toeh B'Davar Mitzvah Asa Mitzvah. He didn't do this intentionally to do something bad. He thought he was supposed to do this. He was allowed to do this, like Avram. So since he made a mistake in a mitzvah, and in the end he did a mitzvah, he did a Chnasas Orchim. So as a result, he doesn't need a kapara. There's a story of a Ish Chesed, his name was Reuven, and he heard that a friend of his, Shimon, was in very, very difficult financial straits. He had to marry off some daughters, and he had a child that was sick, and in big debt, and big difficulties financially. So Reuven decided he's going to do something to help his friend Shimon. And he got together everybody in the main shul one day, and the Bekneset Merkazi in the area, and he got up and made a plea. He said, "I know somebody who's a very fine man and a very fine family, but they're in great need of funds and this and that, whatever." And he gave a whole very heartwarming speech. And then he, of course, asks if anybody can help, it would be a great mitzvah, etc., etc., etc. Little did Reuven know that one of the people in the audience was none other than Shimon. Of course, no names were mentioned. And Shimon heard as Reuven's talking about this guy that didn't realize he's talking about himself. So Shimon, listening to this, took it to heart. And he said, you know what? He thought to himself, I'm also in difficult straits. So who knows, maybe if I make a point of helping this person, then Hashem will see that I, Mita Keneged Mita, I want to help him, maybe Hashem will help me. So he said, even though it's very hard, I have no money, I'm going to go home, try to find something and put something together to give us a donation. So he goes home, he certainly finds himself 200 shekels. And then he makes his way to Reuven's house, and he says, "Reuven, I was there today in shul, and I heard this plea, about this person that as it needs money, and here I want to help, and here's 200 shekels." So Reuven says, "Shimon, you can put the money away." He goes, "Why?" He says, "Because the person I was talking about is you." He says, "Me?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "I saw your matzav and I wanted to help. So here's all the money that I collected, and use it well, and hopefully it'll help you, and this and that, whatever." So Shimon's like, taken aback. "Thank you so much, and very thankful." But then he had the shaila, what about these 200 shekels that he had in mind to give as a donation, as a tzedakah to this person, whoever it might be, which ended up being himself? Does he have to give the money perhaps to another ani that is in a similar matzav as himself, because he had already decided he was going to give the tzedakah of 200 shekels? That was the question that came up. So the answer was that he does not have to give this amount to another ani. Why? Because it would be one thing if he himself decided one day, I'm going to give tzedakah. Okay, he decided he's going to give tzedakah, so now he has to give tzedakah. He made it like a neder. But over here, he wasn't planning on giving tzedakah. It was only because Reuven, came from him. "Oh, you should try to give him, I need help." So he said, okay, he answered the plea of Reuven, not realizing that it was himself. Mela, the tzedakah that you said he was going to give was basically a betaus. They call it a neder betaus, a mistaken neder, and therefore he doesn't have to give the tzedakah, and he doesn't have to give it to somebody else either, because he didn't make a neder to give it to somebody else. He gave it to that guy that Reuven was talking about. It happens to be that guy was himself. So Mela, he doesn't have to end up giving any of the tzedakah. Okay. Next, Maisa Shehaya. There was a group of people that got together towards Chagim, and they wanted to purchase for the Chagim chickens. And the prices are a little bit high, and they decided, they had an idea. They'll make a group purchase, get together of a few families, and buy like wholesale, So they got, so between the families, they came up that they had an order of 40 cases of chickens. And so they got a decent price from the wholesaler. Okay. So the next thing they had to do, though, that they had to organize transportation to bring the chickens to them. So they were looking around for somebody that can, you know, do the job. And they realized that one of the guys actually in the group has a nice size transit, like a tender, a van, whatever, that can hold that amount of chickens. So they said, you know, since he was part of the group anyways, they said, hey, maybe you'll want the job. You'll pick up the chickens and we'll pay you for the, you know, for transportation. Okay. So he said, sure, why not? No problem with that. So that was the arrangement. Arrangement was he was going to go to the wholesaler. He was going to pay on his credit card for the 40 cases of chickens, bring them back, and then distribute it amongst the families. And each family is going to pay him back for the chickens that they ordered, plus transportation fee, which goes to him for doing the for delivery. Okay. So, no problem. He goes to the wholesaler, loads up his van with the 40 cases of chickens, and he makes his way back. However, on the way, he gets stopped by a police officer. Pulls him over to the side and says, what do you have here? So he says, there's a few boxes of chickens. And he says, let me see. And he starts opening up this box. Yeah, sure enough, there are boxes of chickens. So he says, excuse me. He says, where is your cooling system, your air conditioning system? So he says, what? He says, of course, you can't transport such a large amount of chickens without having like a cooling, you know, system in the car, in the truck. So he says, oh, I don't know. I don't have any, I don't know. So he says, listen, you got yourself a big problem because this is a, you're doing something which is against the law. He says, well, I'm not a businessman. I think I just like this privately, picking up some chickens for some people. He says, the law makes no distinction if you're doing it as a business or you're doing it as privately. A large amount of chickens needs a thing. You can understand why, because if it would be that okay for private individuals, it's okay, and it's not, then it would be a pizza in the law, and then people doing it for business would also to pull shtick, and we're talking about something that's very dangerous, because the chickens can go off in the heat or whatever, and the law has to be very strict and stringent in this area. So the policeman, so he said, ah, but I didn't know this. How am I supposed to know this? Such a lot, you know, to whoever, I don't know, I just put some chickens in my drawer. He says, you can tell your stories to the judge, right? And in the meantime, I have to take away all the chickens, confine the chickens, and you're going to have to go in front of a judge. Okay, so he went in front of the judge. And the judge paskened that since he didn't know, he didn't realize, he understood, and he said, "I'll only charge you half the knas, half the fine, which is 850 shekels." And that was the story. So he came back without any chickens and with owing 850 fine, a shekel fine. Now came the shaila. So he had put all the chickens on his credit card. And he said, listen, I'd like you to pay me for the chickens and for the transportation and maybe for the fine also. And the other people in the group said, excuse me, you're a shomer sachar. We're paying you to do this. And it's your fault. We're not paying you for the chickens. We're not paying you for anything. And for the trip, we should pay you for the trip, you know. And you're not bringing us our chickens. No trip, no chickens, no fine, nothing. The shaila was brought up, who and what to do in such a situation. So, it came out the bottom line the following. As far as the paying for the chickens, there's this, Reuven was really an onus. What happened was beyond his control, meaning it's not something that your average layman, in fact, should know. It's not like when you're learning for your driving test and you're taking your theory is one of the things you learn in your theory, because it doesn't have to do even with the roads. It has to do with the health department or law. What have to do with the health department? So your average person is not meant to know such a law. So first of all, you can't really blame Reuben for not knowing the law, number one. And secondly, he said the people that sent him, it's not like they thought he had an air-conditioned car and then it broke down and he didn't tell them or something like that. They knew he had a regular van. They knew he didn't have a special air-conditioned van. It was a regular van. They knew that. So, and still they asked him to pick up the chickens, meaning so they caused their own loss. They knew what they're getting themselves into, and they might get stopped. There's no air, whatever. It's their own fault. So therefore they have to pay him for the chickens, and therefore they have to pay him for the hovala also, for the transportation costs, since he did go out and get them, whatever. And as far as the knas goes, the fine, that some he has to pay for though, since the general rule is that the driver has to pay for any infractions, that they incurred on the road. So the fine, perhaps he has to pay himself. But as far as the chickens and for the transportation costs, the group does have to shell out for that. Okay, one last little maisa, end with this for tonight. It's a story told by Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik that happened when he was a child. He remembers vividly that a chicken, we're speaking a lot about chickens tonight, so we'll end off with a story of chickens. There was a chicken that came into the chatzer, the courtyard of the family, and hopped in one day and laid an egg. Okay. And then it hopped out and left. Okay. Fluke happens, fine. Next day, strangely enough, the chicken comes back again. Again lays an egg, and then disappears. So I said, that's strange, 2 days in a row. Third day rolls around, and again the chicken comes and lays an egg. So this time the kids, whatever, they ran after the chicken to try to, catch it, whatever. But he couldn't. It just ran away. It couldn't catch it. And this continued day after day. Chicken comes, lays an egg, and disappears, and they can't catch it. So they saw something's fishy over here. They mentioned it to the father, and the father thought, he says, maybe somebody is chayiv, was chayiv to me kesef, owed me money, and he left the world without having paid me back, and now he's came back as this chicken and he's paying me back with the eggs. Could be. So he looked through his records, and sure enough he did find somebody who had owned his money, who was no longer alive. And he says, I wouldn't doubt it. This is the case. So next day, again, he waited for the chicken to arrive, and as it did every day, the chicken did arrive. And he went up to the chicken and said, if you're Plony that is owes me this and this money, he says, Hareini mochel lecha b'lev shalem. So I mochel you, don't have to pay me back anymore the rest of the chob, I mochel b'lev shalem. He said that to the chicken, and lo and behold, from then on, the chicken disappeared, no sign anymore. Shal zoiche to be paid back all our debts. We should not have to come back in this world as chickens or in any other forms. And Hashem should see our efforts in doing what is right in this world, and can accordingly bring us in reward for this, the Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehirah bimei.